This morning, in honor of lifting up the stewardship of this congregation, I'm going to speak about Christian education through a letter that I would write to one of my students. You see, today we live in a world that is not so much unlike the world of the church in Matthew's gospel. Many of the values and the practices of the church from generations before us are being questioned, just like they were then. And we are moving into new experiences of what it means to be church in the world today. So the questions we might be asking are, who are we and what are we to do? These are questions not just for Wesley Church, but for the whole church. Jesus' answer seems very simple. He says, we are salt and light. But what does that really mean for us? Your giving here, your contributions, your pledges, your support here at Wesley supports our Christian education through our Sunday school program. You purchase the curriculum. You pay for the Sunday school teacher we hire for our children. Your giving supports our confirmation classes. We are transforming young people for Jesus Christ in our world today, right here at Wesley. You support our youth group activities. And lastly, our adult Sunday school class is thriving because of the support of this congregation. So unlike high school and college education, Christian education is about discipleship. And discipleship doesn't end with a graduation. It is an ongoing process. So I invite each one of you to consider yourself a lifelong student and reflect on how your Christian learning is useful when you approach new endeavors. This letter I am reading is for you. My dear students, you are precious to me. I am so thankful for all that we have learned about God together. You have been attentive and have helped and have participated well in your learning. Your questions have helped me grow as a teacher. As you embark on this new endeavor, this new opportunity, all that you do will be used toward remaking our world. This is the task of a disciple of Jesus Christ. Though your study and your work may not at all be religious, you are on a path that will both serve to preserve as well as expose new ways of thinking in our world. Thus, you will both be salt and light, as Jesus teaches in this fifth chapter in Matthew. Now, salt makes food taste good. You are the salt of the earth. You have the capacity to do good on the earth. Whatever you contribute to the world can make a positive impact for our society, for our culture, and for our environment. And in fact, often when we are doing our best work may be something that we don't even realize that we did, something that we offered to impact another's life that didn't cost us anything at all. It happened simply because of who we are. And God's grace in those moments becomes truly real. Often we don't recognize those who have helped us to grow until years later, until years have passed that experience. One woman who was salt in my life, and you know that I did not grow up in a family that went to church regularly, but one woman who was salt in my life at a very early age, her name was Mrs. Goddard. That's interesting, isn't it? Mrs. Goddard. She was the music director at the church in town, and she knew our family. And I think she saw the four little girls in our family as a gold mine for her choir. And so every week, she would pick us up for choir practice. When we went to church, I remember that the priest on a child's birthday would invite that child to come forward for a blessing. And it must have been about my sixth birthday, and I was in awe of God, and I was fearful of approaching that priest and of approaching that holy space, of approaching the altar. Mrs. Goddard sensed my pounding heart. She probably heard it. She took my hand and held it and walked with me all the way from the choir loft in the balcony up to the very front of the church, and stood with me and held my hand all the way through that blessing. Today, the hymns that I know by heart, and I don't know very many by heart, but the ones that I know are the hymns that she taught, the hymns that I learned in her choir. And one of them specifically was Jesus Calls Us. If you know that hymn, little did I know how much that hymn would impact my life later on. You see, God uses people in our lives to make His grace real. People who are salty bring flavor to our lives. Salt also makes us thirsty. If the only thing that you can find in your heart is a desire to know God, then that is enough. It is the intent of your heart that will lead you to further knowledge of Christ. And there are two ways to acquire knowledge of God. One is through study. So read the scriptures, all of the scriptures. You can't just read one. You need to read them all and look at the breadth of the scriptures and how they put together the grace of God in our world. Read the church fathers, the ancients. Read from Christians like Martin Luther King Jr. Study with a small group to bring further perspective. You will find others who are just as thirsty as you are. The second way to acquire knowledge of God is simply by practicing your faith. Pray, worship, offer your service to others. These practices turn knowledge into experience. Experiencing God's love and grace happens with increasing awareness the more we step out in faith to do the difficult, to do the hard things. Yes, if it's an easy thing for us to offer, then we can rely on our own abilities to perform it. But when it is difficult, we have to rely on faith in God. Remember that, and don't be afraid to practice your faith. Practice often. Yoke yourselves together with Christians and practice together. I want you to be aware that salt can fail to do what it is intended to do. Salt can be useless. Not everything you learn will be useful, and some of what you do will also be cast aside. Apathy and anger are both ways that salt loses its ability to be useful. There is a way to retain salt in your life. Always measure what you do by the love you offer others. Love is the single most power that redeems the world. Love is not always saying yes. Saying no can also protect and preserve life. Discernment is done through prayer, asking God for direction and inviting the Holy Spirit into your heart. That will guide your heart through the most challenging of circumstances and the most challenging of faithful responses. When you find that rich place of saltiness in your life, you have found love, and it will protect and preserve and promote your life for you and life for others. on every exam that you take, remember that love is always the right answer. Everything that you build that will have a lasting effect, everything you build, that which is eternal, is built on love. When things come tumbling down, they only fall to the level where love is exposed. Always look for love in the brokenness of your life. When your relationships fail, do not be dismayed, for there are riches found in forgiveness, and especially take care to be forgiving of your own mistakes. Later on, rich opportunities will come your way to be the forgiving presence for someone who has not yet experienced that blessing. Saltiness is revealed as we grow spiritually and personally. We change and we persevere, increasing our saltiness. Well, Jesus also said that you are the light of the world. There will be a public dimension to your life. Thus, do not put your light under a bushel. Your lamp will light up a hill for others. Our Christianity should be visible to everyone. Visible to your new professors. Visible to the checkout at the grocery store. Visible to the child on the playground. Visible to your employers. Visible in the way we park our cars or in the language we use at the ball game. Jesus did not say, "You are the light of the church." He said, "You are the light of the world." Archbishop William Temple is famous for saying, "The church is the only institution on earth that exists for those who are not its members." A light is a guide. Like the lighthouse that guides ships into the shore, your light guides others to solid ground. Discipleship is not secret. Privatized acts. It's not a privatized act at all. Discipleship leads us to public ministry. It reaches beyond and it includes others. It's inclusive. Good works are the light that point beyond themselves toward God. Putting your light on the lampstand lights the whole house. And the scriptures say that we, the church, are the light on the hill. We are to light up the whole city. Consider the things that we rely on for light today. Light is the kind of energy that makes us able to see color. Did you know that? Light is what makes us to see color. Okay? Sunlight helps vegetation grow. Solar light gives us electricity now. And lasers can be used for healing. So in the same way, disciples of Christ are to refract God's light to bring vitality and energy toward life that offer growth and understanding and bring healing works that glorify God. On those days when it seems like there is a lot of darkness, remember that Jesus said, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Look towards that light, and you will find Christ. Yes, like the early disciples, whatever work you are called to will at times put you in places where others will revile and persecute you. But unlike the salt that loses its capacity to season food, your light cannot be hidden. The darkness can never overcome the light. Do you hear that? Darkness can never overcome your light. Sometimes we go to places of darkness to bear light. Author Annie Dillard writes, "You do not have to sit outside in the dark. If, however, you want to look at the stars, you will find that darkness is necessary. The best part of what your faith will do as you move out into the world is to engage you in the wonderful mysteries of God. How every ending is a new beginning. How the last things become the first things. You will find that your greatest weakness becomes your greatest strength. You will receive through everything you give. You will be most free when you are bound in service to others. You will gain your life through losing it. You will find the eternal spring not outside of yourself, but deep within it, where God will refresh your life, give you life each day, and in every circumstance. Remember that in the heart-pounding moments of your life, you are not alone. God is with you, shining light to lead your way. Neither salt nor light are given for your own personal enjoyment. They are to be carried into the world. Go and be salt and light for others. I will remember you in my prayers. Even better, Christ, who is sitting at the right hand of our Heavenly Father, is interceding for us all. Go forth in faith and in love, for you are blessed to be a blessing in our world. Signed, your pastor, friend, and sister in Christ. Amen.